Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Waiting for God. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 2, especially this verse, that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's in your order of service on the yellow insert. Again, our title, Waiting for God. Well, there's one activity that we all have in common and none of us very much enjoy, and that is waiting. We wait at red lights. We wait in the doctor's office. We wait at the airport. We wait at the post office. We wait for our wives to get ready at the bathroom near. We wait for our husbands to get finished with that sports program on television. We wait for our children to do what we asked them to do 2 days ago. We wait. Waiting is not easy, but it's often necessary. And we're all waiting for God in one way or the other. Waiting for Him to act. Waiting for Him to heal someone. Waiting for Him to change something. And very often, God's timing is not our timing. And as we wait, we are tempted to turn our waiting into something less. And some men would change waiting into passivity. Well, there is nothing I can do about it, so all I can do is wait, we hear. But waiting for God to act is not like sitting in a dark movie theater waiting for the picture to begin. This kind of waiting can be simply a pious excuse for spiritual laziness. Waiting for God is more like waiting for the arrival of a special guest. And there are preparations to be made while we wait. And as we wait, we seek to be obedient. We seek to be obedient and do what is in our power to do while waiting for God's final solution. Others change waiting into useless activity. Tired of waiting for God, some people turn to immediate sources of false hope, like drugs and alcohol, unhealthy relationship, crazy busyness in our lives, something, anything, to give us even a false sense of hope or a temporary sense of hope. Tired of waiting for God, other people create their own God. Martin Luther, in answer to the question of what is a God, said this: a God is whatever you fear, love, and trust above anything else. God is who you look to give you your highest good. And so we make up homemade gods, like possessions and money. Human relationships, our own personal status or reputation, even religious activities. But these things cannot save us. They become burdens for us. They demand more than they can ever deliver. They don't give us the hope we need. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only true and lasting hope. And it was for Him, in our Luke 2 text for today, that both Simeon and Anna were waiting. Now, who were they? And why were they waiting? We just read the gospel account. Simeon, the text tells us, was a devout man. He was looking for and awaiting, as Don said in our children's message, the promised Christ, the promised Messiah. And the text does not tell us his age. But it does tell us that God revealed He would not die until he saw the Christ with his own eyes. And then there's Anna in the text. How is she described? As an 84-year-old widow. And the text said she never left the temple. Kind of reminds me of some of our ladies around here who are seem to be always underfoot, who are always here doing something in the church building. And here was Anna, which was fine. Anna waiting for the consolation of Israel. And as Simeon and Anna waited, they weren't passive. They weren't lazy. They would not bear the title of old and useless. No, as Simeon and Anna waited, they served others in need. They worshiped their Lord and they taught the faith to the new generation that was coming after them. And God came, but not as they expected. Who knows exactly what they were expecting? But surely not this frail little baby and his poor, dirt poor parents, Mary and Joseph, who had brought their baby to the temple, as was the custom of the law, to receive his name formally and to be circumcised as a part of God's covenant. But they soon learned this baby was the long-awaited Messiah. But at first glance, we wonder if Simeon and Anna said, "This was not at all what we expected. Could this be what we've been waiting for?" My friends, God comes to us today. And often he comes not the way we expect. We pray, "Come, O God, and bring me inner peace." And he comes with yet another challenge we must face, which helps us grow in our faith. We pray, "Come, God, and bring healing." But he comes at the graveside with words like this, "I am the resurrection and the life." The question is, can we recognize his coming at the cross of Calvary as well as at the cradle of Bethlehem? Another way to say it is this. Can we recognize God's coming in pain and hardship as well as in times of peace or comfort? Simeon did. Simeon said, "I have seen and held God's salvation, and now I'm ready to die in peace." And to Mary, he said, "This son of yours will pierce your soul through," meaning the pain and suffering he will bring her will be amazing. But God has come even in pain and sorrow. My friends, to you and me, Jesus comes today, not just as a peaceful baby, little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes on Christmas Day. He also comes as a Savior who knows your sin, who knows your pain, and has promised to be with you through thick and thin the other 364 days of the year also. This morning, our alarm clock went off with the music on the radio. And you know, as soon as Christmas Day is done, Christmas music is ceasing to be played. But that's not true in the Christian church or in the Christian faith. We still sing our Christmas hymns. We wait as he comes to us. Not just one day a year, but 364 days. Not just when people are happy and hearts are warm on Christmas, but every day of your life as you face the challenges this life brings your way. Can we recognize his coming, though, as he comes to us even today in his word and in his sacraments? In the preaching of the word, Jesus comes to us today and says at least these three things. You are a sinner, but I am your Savior. Now listen to my plan for your life now and for all eternity. And he comes in the very body and blood of Holy Communion, when in, with, and under that bread and wine, Jesus says to us today, "I have come to be truly present with you." And in, with, and under this bread and wine, I am here to give you a foretaste of the eternal feast in heaven, which one day will be yours. But the question we ask this morning is the question of Anna and Simeon's life. Can we serve as we wait? Simeon and Anna did. They knew that this Lord Jesus, they knew as soon as they saw this little babe, he wasn't just a frail little baby of a poor peasant couple. This was Christ, their Savior. They knew he had claimed their lives, that he would buy and purchase their lives from sin. And so they served him every day. Verse 38 says of Anna, "And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of them to all who were waiting for the consolation of Israel." We can just see old Simeon and old Anna passing on their faith to the next generation. My friends, today, I would ask that you would ask your Lord these two questions. Number one, Lord, how would you have me serve you as I wait? And number two, in what area of my life could I be obedient to you? To me, that sounds like a wonderful New Year's resolution for 2010. How can I serve you, Lord, as I wait? What area of my life can I find new obedience to you in the new year? The Italian painter Giotto tried to capture this story in Luke chapter 2 with his famous and beautiful painting entitled The Presentation in the Temple. In this beautiful painting, Simeon holds the baby Jesus, and you can almost see his lips moving under his white beard as he says these words, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." Giotto knew his Simeon, but Giotto also knew his babies, because this infant baby Jesus in the painting, far from resting happily in the arms of this stranger, is reacting like all babies react when they're in the arms of a frightful stranger. The little baby Jesus' eyes are narrowed and looking at this man, while this way reaching out his arms to his mother, "Mama, Mama, Mama, save me from this stranger." Giotto knew his babies. But Giotto also knew the deep truth of this moment. Because in this painting, if you look carefully, as the baby Jesus reaches out to his mother Mary, at that moment, Simeon is holding him over the very horns of the sacrificial altar in the temple where animals are slain for the sins of the people. Giotto declares in this painting that this little baby, from the beginning, is the eternal sacrifice for the redemption of the sins of the entire world. The wait is over. He has finally arrived. So, my friends, today we wait. We wait in a world of sin and death. Oh, the Christmas tree will soon be taken down, the presents be put away, and we still wait for our Lord Jesus to come to us today. And he comes. Make no mistake, he comes. Not just one day of the year as the peaceful babe on Christmas Day, but also in the pains and the challenges of the other 364 days of the year. And one day, he will come again at world's end. And he will bring finally an end to sin, an end to death, and the beginning of joys forever in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We can hardly wait. In the name of Jesus, amen.